In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Have you ever witnessed something that was so incredible, so unique, so extraordinary, that you just couldn't keep the experience to yourself? I bet you have. We've all had those times in our lives. And what do you do when you have such experiences? What do? You talk about it. You tell somebody, right? Yeah. And you probably tell a lot of people. Sometimes I bet in order to tell the story, you would stop anybody to tell it to them if you just get them to stand still long enough. Right? I've done it. And we don't tell the story in broad stroke generalities either. We tell the story in painstaking detail, describing not only the details of the event itself, but also what we were thinking and what we were feeling. Regardless of whether we were terrified or excited or in awe, we convey our emotions in the retelling of the story because it paints a more exact picture of the experience. Now, why do we do that? Well, I think the answer is there's some news that's too extraordinary to keep to ourselves because we were witnesses. We were there. We saw it with our own eyes, and we want to share it with other people. So you can imagine how the disciples felt when they witnessed firsthand the most single extraordinary event in all of human history, the resurrected Christ staring at them in the flesh. Before they had that experience, the disciples felt defeated and afraid. A lifetime of experience had told them that death was the end, but Jesus' resurrected appearance told them otherwise. And while this morning's appearance of Christ to the disciples certainly isn't the first time for some of them to have seen the risen Lord, collectively it will be the last time they see the risen Lord. Because in Luke's gospel, immediately following this final encounter, Jesus is going to ascend into heaven to take his rightful place at the right hand of God. But before he does so, he makes that one last appearance among them because he has one more very important thing to teach them. "Look at my hands and my feet," he tells the disciples. As he opens up his wounded hands and removes the sandals from his wounded feet, the disciples suddenly remember everything these limbs have done. Every act of kindness his hands have shown to so many over the last 3 years. The healing of the lame and the sick, every pat on the head of a child who came to him. And finally, the breaking of the bread at their last meal together. His feet now, with the scar from the nails that held him to the cross, remind the disciples of just how far they've walked with Jesus these last 3 years. How he washed their feet as an act of servanthood, and how he walked with the weight of the cross on his back to his final destination. That's just some of the things that run through their mind as they stand for the last time in the physical presence of the risen Lord. Jesus, in his risen form, is telling the disciples that they are to now go spread the word that he began. The promise of repentance and forgiveness of sins is now to be proclaimed by them in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And he commissions them to do this work with these words: "You are witnesses of these things." They are now the hands and feet of Jesus. They are now commissioned to tell the story, to preach the story, and to live the story. They are to tell the story not as hearsay, but from their own experience. They had seen it all. They had seen it with their own eyes. From the very early days of Jesus' ministry to his painful death on the cross to his glorious resurrection, they were there. They experienced it firsthand. They were witnesses of these things. Well, of course, we didn't see the resurrection at firsthand, but the disciples did. And because they told their story, we too have experienced the resurrection in our lives. And so we too tell the story today because we've experienced the risen Lord. Some of us tell the story from the pulpit. Some of us tell the story through work at the food pantry. Some tell the story through the work of the thrift shop or at Penn Station or making and giving out prayer squares and knitting hats and gloves or simply by praying and caring for one another. Point is, the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, is made real and present to others by our words, our actions, and our deeds. How we live our lives as Christians serves as an example to others, and it leads them to the life-changing experience of receiving Christ's presence in their life. You are witnesses of these things. That's what Jesus told the disciples before he left them, entrusting the entire world to their care. When that world looks around for the risen Christ, they want to know what it means. And it is us that they will look to for that meaning. They will look at our hands and our feet, and they will want to see where our feet have taken us and what our hands have done to serve others and to help others. They want to see the risen Lord made visible by our witness. And so we go outside the doors of this church this morning and into the world, and we tell the story. Why? Because we are witnesses of the risen Lord. And by God's grace, our witness will change people's hearts, not just here in Sayville, but every place where God's people have ears and eyes to listen and see the saving power of God. And we will do it because some news is just too extraordinary to keep to ourselves. Amen.